Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
Morning to you in the building. Morning to you if you're watching online. Come on, wasn't Manny fantastic? How bright is the future? If you love Manny, put it in the chat. If you're looking for a husband, you could put it in the chat and we will auction him off at the end of the service. Put your offer into the chat. Listen, I think Manny is worth millions. And all proceeds received will go to our food fund. And talking of that, come on, church, Thrive has come to the party yet again. And we are almost up to 100,000 Rand for our food relief fund. Isn't that fantastic? Give God some praise. I said, give him some praise. Listen, if you're online and you're sitting down, stand up and give God some praise. If you're in the building, get up and give God some praise and let's see our communities improved. Come on, somebody, let's get over 100,000. And your contribution towards many could see us. Hey, I want to let you know, on a serious note, we are almost up to the 100,000 mark. We want to get there. So come on, let's give generously towards that. We've identified the place where we're going to be buying the food ovens. And it's just going to be an amazing, amazing thing to invest into the community and see. We've identified a young lady's business. And man, it's going to change the trajectory of her business and therefore her life and therefore her kids' lives. And so what an amazing thing to do. We felt as a church we didn't just want to be reactive and just only buy food. We wanted to invest into the community. Isn't that wonderful? And George's team, Serve the City, have been running their own little project to raise funds for the ingredients for bread. And they've called it Project 10,000, and now they've got 10,000, and now they're hitting Project 20,000. So, Georgie, no pressure, but by this time next week, Project 20,000, make it. Isn't that good? As a community, as people, we have a choice in moments of difficulty. Either we stand up and say we will change things, either we decide we will do what we can do in the moment, or we can sit back and moan, and that does nothing. And I'm so proud of our community. Come, wherever you are, in the building, people are standing. If you're online, hop up out of your chair, place your hand on your heart, and let's ask for God's word to do something incredible in our lives today. I loved what Matt said. It's God's word that is a light to our feet. We're not people who base our lives on our feelings. We're not people who go with our feelings. We're people of principle who allow the word of God to shape our thoughts, shape our attitudes and our hearts. And we all struggle with our hearts, our attitudes, our thoughts. We all struggle with them all the time, which is why we need God's word and need to keep coming back to it, which is why the gathered church of God around the word of God is so important. And so today, Father, we ask that you touch our lives with your word. Pray that you would form our thinking, shape our thinking, change our thinking by your word and by the power of the Holy Spirit that accompanies your word. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Thanks, everybody. Have a seat. I can remember a couple of years ago, I had the great privilege of going up to Western Zambia, where the Hope Church and Village of Hope projects are running. One of the things that these incredible people do is they sink water wells into the communities. They sink water wells into villages that are literally hundreds of kilometers, in some cases, hundreds of kilometers away from any form of civilization. I remember going to a village that was about 70 or 80 kilometers away from civilization where they had just sunk a water well that week, and they wanted to show us the effect on the community of a well. What happens when a community gets water for the first time? Now, bear in mind that most of the people in this community had never seen running water before. The only concept and paradigm that they'd ever had with regards to water was that you would carry a bucket to a source of water and you were limited by however big your container was and the strength that you had in order to carry that home. Well, going to a community, going to a village to see what happens to people's lives when water comes and when a water well is sunk was one of the most transformative moments I'd ever been exposed to and ever experienced. You'll see the picture of these kids' faces and the community's faces when water gets pumped. Like they couldn't quite believe it. Some guy grabs hold of a pump, starts to pump it, and water begins to flow. It's almost like it was a miracle. And in their lives, it was a miracle. The thought was this, though, that in a dry and dusty land, you've got to sink deep for water. Life is found deeper. Water, which is life, is found deep below the ground. And so too for us. Life is found deeper. Today we're going to talk about for a few moments in our series, Yet I Will, about living deeper. Because most of life actually is like an iceberg below the surface. And you and I, as we navigate dry and dusty times, I mean, literally, if you're in Joburg, listen, if you're watching online and you're not in Joburg, wintertime in Joburg is dry and dusty. You've got to go below the surface for water. But not only that, when you're navigating icy waters, dangerous waters, and you and I, if you and I are only people that look at the top of the iceberg and don't realize that actually most of the meaning of life, most of the significance of life, most of what actually really matters in life is below the surface. If you and I aren't there, we will always be the people who walk through life, walk around and go, what on earth is actually happening? And so today, my encouragement to us and our word to us from Jesus' words as he speaks to two of his disciples is decide to live deeper. Decide to think deeper. Decide to question God deeper. Decide to live in community deeper. We're going to work with a few words, which I'll give you in just a moment's time. But I want to start by saying this, and here's the thought that I want you to grab onto. Life is found deeper. Whether it's a water well where the deeper you go, the greater the water is, or whether it's an iceberg where actually all you see above the surface is the tip of the berg, but life is found deeper. And Jesus speaks to his disciples, two of his disciples, James and John. They're called the sons of thunder. These were the sons of Zebedee. These two guys come to Jesus one day and they want to get an inside track. They want to do an inside job on the rest of their disciples. They come to Jesus and we're going to read the story. It's found in Mark's gospel, Mark chapter 10. And I'll read the story and then I'll unpack it for you so you know where we're going with it today. So Mark chapter 10, be on the screen for you as well, verses 35 to 45. Let's read the story and see where Jesus heads to with this. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came over and spoke to him. Teacher, they said, we want you to do us a favor. James and John were looking for a tender. That's what they were. What is your request? He asked. Here we go. They replied, when you sit on your glorious throne, we want to sit in places of honor next to you, one on your right and the other on your left. But Jesus said to them, you don't know what you're asking. Are you able to drink from this bitter cup of suffering I'm about to drink? Are you able to be baptized with the baptism of suffering I must be baptized with? Oh, yes, they replied, we are able. Check these guys. Then Jesus told them, you will indeed drink from my bitter cup and be baptized with my baptism of suffering, but I have no right to say who will sit on my right or my left. God has prepared those places for the ones he has chosen. When the other 10 disciples heard what James and John had asked, they were indignant. That's polite language for... Ik wil je slot o maat. That's what it is like. He says, so Jesus called them together. He's got to make peace now. He's like, check these two. They've created massive issues. He says, you know that the rulers in this world lord it over their people and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you, it will be different. Whoever wants to be a leader among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be the first among you must be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others and give his life as a ransom for many. Here we have, friends, a classic example of James and John living at a surface level and Jesus saying to them, no, 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 no. Things are a lot deeper than what you think. Three words for us to get invited into today when it comes to living deeper. I want to invite you to live deeper in thought, in theology, and in community. To live deeper in thought, theology, and community. When it comes to thoughts, James and John were thinking about kingdom in a particular context, in a particular way. James and John were thinking that the kingdom of God is all about thrones and position and honor. They were thinking kingdom. The problem is they were thinking about the kingdom of me. And Jesus says to them, no, 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 listen, the only thing we have in common in this conversation is kingdom. But there is where the similarity ends. You're thinking about kingdom and you're thinking about the kingdom of me. I'm thinking about the kingdom of God. What he was saying to them is you are thinking too shallow. Your thoughts about the kingdom are too shallow. You know, in our world and in our society at the moment, everybody's operating at this level. You know, opinion is the lowest form of communication. Because everybody can have an opinion, but there can be no value to it, no substance to it. And yet, if social media allows us to put an opinion out there, it can spread like wildfire, and all of a sudden, the stupidity levels of the world increase. Because everybody believes what gets sent to them. Everybody believes what's written. If it comes on WhatsApp, we believe it. Are you with me? And Jesus is saying, listen, you've got an understanding of kingdom, but you're thinking kingdom is thrones and honor and position and glory. And Jesus is saying to us, actually, the path to the palace is paved with suffering. Your understanding of kingdom, James and John, is too shallow. You've got to go deeper with your thoughts. It's almost like we're digging around the surface of the soil and wondering why we never strike water. It's like we're navigating icy oceans of water and wondering why we keep hitting the iceberg, why it keeps ripping a hole in our ship. Because the reason for these is because life is found deeper. We have to think about our world deeper. If we're going to navigate through icy oceans, if we're actually going to strike water, we've got to go deeper. We've got to go deeper with our thinkings. Here's the thing, church, we've got to engage life at a deeper level. And so you and I can be in this season that we're all in worldwide, and we can go, we hate the masks, and we hate the disruption to our lives, and we hate the online schooling, which then goes back to physical schooling, which then goes back to online. We hate the fact that we can't gather as a church. We hate the fact that we've got to work from home, and now there's no working hours. It's just 24 hours a day that we work. Are you with me? We can think like that, or we can go below the surface. We can go a little bit deeper, and you see, let me package it this way. You and I can continue to ask kingdom of me questions, or we can graduate to kingdom of God questions. So instead of asking the question, when can we go back to normal? When's it going to all be better? When can we gather? Listen, I want to say to you, week after week, I've got to put on a brave face and preach and do the things. Day after day, we've got to lead a staff, lead a group. There's deep pain with where we, I mean, We didn't think in 2021, the 10 o'clock, we would have 50 people in it. Eh? That wasn't the dream. You don't sign up to be in ministry to talk to a camera. So it's not that there's no pain, but it's asking the deeper question of, can there be redemptive pain? Can there be something deeper below the surface? Giving the camera guys a lovely hard time today. Kristen, do the things. Can there be questions that matter below the surface? Can I be thinking about these things deeper? For example, what might God be forming in me as a result of the fact that I'm online and then I'm not, and then my kids are online and then they're not, and the church is not, in my case, church is not where we hoped it would be, or could, the spaces aren't the way we had wanted them to be, and in your life, your business isn't what it was, or it's got a different emphasis now, and if you're in the entertainment industry, your business is no, and you know what I'm saying? Can the questions, Great Church, to what's God doing in me? What might he be forming in me? Another God, kingdom of God question might be, what is the pain revealing about me? Another question might be, what is God showing me about my levels of control? About how I like to have things in boxes, neat and tidy. You with me? Another kingdom of God question might be, what is God developing in the way of patience in me? Patience. Could it be that we're thinking about the kingdom of God in this moment? See, I think if we can graduate, here's the deal. If we can graduate from the kingdom of me to the kingdom of God in me, then I think the season might actually yield some fruit. Then it might actually form something deeper within us. And so we ask the deeper questions. What can I be grateful for? What do I have? It's not to discount the loss. It's not to minimize the loss. It's not to pretend that the loss and the pain isn't there. It's simply to add onto that the deeper question of asking, what is the Lord doing in me? What am I learning about myself? What am I learning about the world? What am I learning about the way people process things? And so if, as a church, we are married to the mission, not the method. So if our passion is to move people towards Jesus, and if we can't gather the way we want to gather, then we'll just create other spaces, won't we? Which is what we've done. And that's why I'm so proud of our church. I'm so proud of the community that we are. Because we can't gather physically the way we want to. So what will we do? We'll launch an online campus. And then we'll take Life College and we'll put that online. And then we'll have life groups in online and physical spaces. And if we're married to the mission of moving people towards Jesus, well, then we'll decide to do that on a Wednesday morning. And we'll create a little thing called Calm and Quiet Moments. It's a half an hour of sanity in the midst of a week of insanity. It's only for the real Christians. It's only for the real followers of Jesus. If you've never attended a Calm and Quiet Moments, because you don't know Jesus yet. But today, by the end of today, if you respond to Jesus and if you... in a calm and quiet moment, you'll know just how amazing it is. And if we can't gather physically, we're married to the mission, not the method. So then we'll do communion drive-through. Hey, if we can't do communion in rows, then we'll do communion in cars. But nothing stops the mission. Are you with me? So then we'll do communion together and in the parking lots of our campuses. And people pull in with their families. All throughout July, this is what happened. And if we can't gather in a church building, well, then we'll gather to give blood on Mandela Day. this coming Saturday. So like today's, what's today? I've got all sorts of help from the front row here. Today's Sunday. Well, then this coming Saturday, we're going to gather. We'll stick out our arms and give blood. We'll bring non-perishable food. We're going to bring sanitary wear for young ladies. Did you know that young ladies don't go to school? Some in the community don't go to school because of that. Amazing. So just through generosity, we can change their schooling. And so that's what we're going to do. And so the thing is, we've got to think deeper. In Thrive's case, if the mission is to move people towards Jesus, then we're going to think about deeper ways and deeper spaces to do that. Why? Because we're about moving people towards Jesus. Think deeper in thought. Secondly, think deeper in theology, or deeper theology. I think what we've got is, I think what the season is revealing is there's a shallowness to much of the theology amongst so-called Christ followers. The theology is one of two things that I see. The theology is, I can't get my mind around why something like this would be happening. There must be a conspiracy, because it couldn't possibly be that the world could suffer the way it is. The second theology is, God must be punishing us for something. And so what we have is a divergence in our theological understanding, where people are binary. People are either left or right. They're at the extreme. The pendulum swings one way or the other. The one swing of the pendulum is, God must be punishing us for being terrible. God is angry. The other side is, this can't really be happening because God wanted to bless me. And so what we have is either a blessing God or a punishing God. I want to suggest to you a third alternative, and that is a forming God. Because at the end of the day, God formed us with his hands before he blessed us with his lips. Before there was any sense of punishment in the Garden of Eden. Are you with me? It's very important what I'm saying. You can either go blessing God or you can go punishing God. But I want to suggest to you forming God, because the first thing God did with his hands is he formed us before he blessed us, or before Adam and Eve had any punishment. And so a theological understanding that comes back to the essence of the creative forming power of God in our lives. Go deeper in your theology. A pandemic doesn't mean God's angry. A pandemic is possible even if God is a blessing God. And he is a blessing God. It's just he's not only a blessing God. He's a forming God. How is it possible that Jesus, on the day of his baptism, has the Father affirming him, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased," and yet Jesus has a life that includes suffering? Do you have a theology of suffering? Does your theology have room for the difficult and the desperate and the moments of destitution? Paul the Apostle, the greatest missionary who ever lived, man who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. If your theology doesn't include suffering, then what do you make of all the suffering that Paul the Apostle experienced? What do you make of the 12 apostles? All of them, bar one, put to death in the most horrific ways. Nathaniel, did you know he was flayed alive and then beaten to death? Peter, we know, was crucified upside down. Andrew was also crucified, his brother. Did you know that? So unless our theology goes deeper, unless our theology expands, you and I will always wonder what on earth is going on in our world. Third word to invite us into today is community. To go deeper in community. Look at James and John. These oaks are proper skabangers, the both of them. I think it was kind of like this. It was almost like, hey, Jesus, Come over here. I think maybe they were having a meal. Maybe they were just chilling. Maybe they were sitting at a water well. I don't know. All of them. And then James and John go, Jesus, can we have a private little, you know, like in your office, the water cooler meeting. You know, the meeting after the meeting. Or the meeting before the meeting. And James and John come and they go, Jesus, come. And then, you know, do you think I could sit here? And then I'll sit here. And then you'll sit in the middle. And then basically the rest of the other oaks, put them where you want. What were they thinking? They were thinking me, not we. And Jesus had to, do you notice how he calls the other 10 and he blows the whole thing open? He goes, let's just talk about the request that I've had here for a moment. What was Jesus doing? He was building his community. Are you with me? He was building his community. I think community is a currency to wellness that too many of us don't make regular deposits into. Community is the thing that will hold you at some times. Can I be honest with you? There might be moments where, like Matt was talking about the Word of God, there might be moments in your life where you're so desperate that you don't even want to read the Word of God. But a community, a friend, someone who comes alongside you and says, I see something in your eyes that's not lacquer. What's up? I think, let me give you a picture. Let me offer you a picture for community. It was once a guy, a couple years ago, this happened in 2017. A punk rock band called NOFX were playing. NOFX. If you've never heard of them, I really do offer you my condolences. And I would love for you to be saved one day and to see the band NOFX. NOFX is brilliant. There's a moment, Timo just joining me, don't stress about it. There's a moment where there's this guy in the concert and he's in a wheelchair. So he's sitting in his wheelchair like this, and the guys around him are rocking, but of course they're on their feet and he's in a wheelchair. So he can't see the band. So you know what a couple of his friends do? They look at him, they decide, they call a bunch of other concert goers and they say, hey, come on. And they pick his wheelchair up. And they hold him above the crowd. And he's like rocking to the concert. Beautiful picture. It's what community does. And here's the dirty secret that nobody who follows Jesus wants to admit. There will be a moment where the only thing that will hold you is community. And you might think I've got it all together. You might think, yeah, I'm lekker. And you might pull into church in the days when we had church. Listen, spring is coming, everybody. And the winter of discontent will end. And our churches will be full again. But there will come a moment where the only thing that will hold you is a person who lifts you up in the wheelchair of your difficulty. You think you don't need it. You do. And life groups start up again this Wednesday, like in a few days. And you might think, does it mean I've got to, like maybe you're not in a life group, does it mean I've got to go and get to know a whole bunch of people? Yes. Does it mean you've got to take a step? Yes. Does it mean you've got to decide to get out of your shell? Yes. Does it mean that I've got to actually do something on a Wednesday night? I might get home tired. My kids may have given me a hard time. My boss may have been an absolute muhu that day, and I might not ever feel like it, but guess what? There will come a moment when you'll be in a wheelchair, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. And those will be the people that will hold you. So you can think about community at the surface. And you can think, yeah, it's I got to go to a group. Or, yeah, I got to make a schlep on a Wednesday night. It's so cold in Joburg. And I'm going to have to drive somewhere. Or I'm going to have to log on. And you can think that level. Or you can think below the surface. And you can find water. And you can find life. And you can find that the majority of life actually happens beneath the surface. That's why this series has been so beautiful. Three words. Yet I will. And the man who wrote those words, a guy called Habakkuk. You know, Pastor Dino, last week, he really enjoyed saying Habakkuk. And I said to him, maybe you Cape Tonians, that's the way you talk. But in Joburg, we say Habakkuk. He pens these words and he goes, though the grapes may not be on the vines, though the crop may have failed, though the fig trees be bare, an acknowledgement of, and at the same time, a declaration into the future. Yet, I will. What are we going to do? We're going to live deeper in our thinking. And think about our world a little deeper. And think about people's pain. Think about their struggles. And think about the kingdom of God and the kingdom of me. We're going to graduate from kingdom of me questions to kingdom of God questions. What are we going to do? We're going to think deeper in our theology. God is not simply a blessing God, nor is he a punishing God. He is a forming God. He formed us before he spoke words of blessing, or before there was any consequence for sin. God formed us. The only part of creation that the Lord formed with his own hands is us. We're going to think about our community deeper. We're not going to allow complacency and laziness and busyness and overwhelmedness. We're not going to be people who pull the plug and go, ah. We're going to be people who give themselves to community. Because one day, you and I, each one of us will be in a wheelchair spiritually and emotionally where we need somebody to lift us up. And so, yes, I will. What a great song for this series. Yet I will, and yes, I will. So come on, if you're watching online, why don't you stand to your feet? We're going to worship together. Come on, in the building, leaders, let's stand to our feet. Let's make some declarations as we process what God is doing in us today. Come on, let's lift our hands to heaven. If you're online, wherever you are, in your lounge, your bedroom, outside on your patio, come on, let's lift hands to heaven. And let's make some declarations today. Come on, let's sing like we've never sung before. Yes, I will. Come on.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.